Welcome back to Radio Arcadia. Chris Marcus here with you as always. And today is Monday, December 29th. That's right, 2015 is only two more days away. Pretty hard to imagine. Well, I guess actually, well, be 3 days away since 2 days would be New Year's Eve. But what's 24 hours here or there? Either case, what a fascinating year it's been. And while we haven't had the capitulation of whatever this catastrophe that the government is creating in the financial markets, certainly it does seem as if things are building. And today we're going to cover an update on some recent economic headlines and how to go from, I'll even call myself out on using the wrong word, catastrophe, because there's really no such thing unless we choose to perceive it that way. And instead of seeing a catastrophe, I try to think of what's coming as an opportunity, which can be when we position ourselves and understand what's happening and do the homework and take the time to think about the things that are going on, which, of course, by the fact that you're listening to a podcast like this, which, you know, isn't the typical mainstream thing to do, shows that you're deep into that process. And so with that said, I'd love to just run through some recent headlines that have fallen into my email inbox as I have this great strategy I love of following the economic markets. Fortunately, ever since leaving Wall Street, I've been able to spend less and less of each day digging into the minutiae and really taking a step back and seeing it from a broader perspective, which really, I think, is a helpful way to look at things, because think about what we know of Wall Street, where it's a very short-term focused mentality, and you feel almost, well, if you don't have every stock nail the particular earnings, your life is falling apart, which is really an unhealthy way, in my opinion, to handle these types of things. And I don't mean to say that it's not a common way of handling it, because certainly when I was on the trading floor, that's pretty much exactly what I did and how most other people handle these things, and just imagining everything that could go wrong as the worst thing in the world. But when we take a step back and think about these things from a broader perspective, especially, not only does it help you to really understand what's going on, but I think a big part of all of this is even more, yes, understanding what's happening, and there comes the time where we need to make decisions, and if we understand things properly, we can make better decisions and get better outcomes. And yes, that's a big part of it. Although, certainly, in these past couple of years, I'm starting to think that maybe even a bigger part is just learning that we can choose to react to things in a different way. And certainly there were a lot of people that lost a lot of their investment capital or had their accounts lose value in the last collapse. But maybe, while that was probably stressful at the time, ended up leading you to do different things, and maybe ended up starting a new business or changing a career, or it caused something else to happen that ended up being a good thing. So that's, anyway, a short version of why I have my new strategy. I love getting these Wall Street Journal inbox alerts. Not necessarily that it's the most important news, but it gives you a good idea of what Wall Street's thinking about anyway. And so if you caught last week's column on ArcadiaEconomics.com, we talked about this a little bit, but I thought it was pretty interesting and figured we'd take a quick run through. Because sometimes I wonder, and certainly I know there's a lot of people that are in the truth movement and who are very concerned about the things that are happening, and often wonder or express frustration about other people not seeing what they're seeing, and certainly to the degree that we are in this together, I can understand that, and it's because the more people, is, I do believe there is a threshold where if enough people understood what was happening, then eventually the banks and the government and all this stuff that they're getting away with, once it gets exposed, then eventually that's when the people can take the power back. So just to point out some of the recent headlines that I think put it into perspective, because again, I wonder almost what else could happen outside of maybe a UFO landing on the White House to catch people's attention these days. But let's take a quick run through here. December 13th, Senate passes $1.1 trillion spending bill. Well, at least they named it, right? Spending bill. At least you have an accurate title on it. Another $1.1 trillion. Keep in mind, I don't know how many times we've raised that debt ceiling limit at this point, but I still often remember back to 2011, the biggest debt ceiling, the most public debate, where after the promises, well, there were no promises honored, but the promises were made, all right, we're going to raise it one last time, but we promise we'll get it in check. Of course, all those promises were reneged. Actually, that's what the fiscal cliff was, if you remember that. I guess that was the beginning of 2013 and of 2012, where we were told how it would be irresponsible to cut any spending at that point because the economy wasn't strong enough. And of course, what the fiscal cliff was, with those promises, that those cuts that they were revoking, were the ones that were agreed to in the debt ceiling debate earlier. And here it is, a couple of years later now, a couple of debt ceiling debates later, Senate's passing another $1.1 trillion spending bill. Where that money's going to come from, I'd love to know. I can't figure it out myself. We've borrowed up above $18 trillion now. I don't know how much more U.S. Treasury debt the Chinese and some of these foreign creditors are interested in buying. Supposedly the quantitative easing programs are done and the Fed's not going to buy it. So no one seems to know outside of Wall Street conning people into thinking that the Treasury and the dollar are the safe haven. I don't know who's going to fill that demand, because certainly it seems like the Russian central bank is, as they raise their interest rate. Now think about this. The Russian central bank on December 15th, now this is headline number two, raised their key interest rate to 17% from 10.5%. So that's another sign that, and again, on December 16th, we saw the reason why, and another headline, Russian ruble hits record low against dollar. So we have currency concerns going on, and certainly the Russians have given every indication that they're not really interested in supporting the dollar Ponzi scheme any longer. December 17th, ECB's Kaur, I guess one of their central bankers, sends strong signal on stimulus. Basically, it sounds like they're getting ready to launch their own quantitative easing, which is fascinating, because a couple months ago, they took interest rates into negative territory. Now, and again, if you're sitting there wondering, what does that mean? How can you have a negative interest rate? By all means, you're not alone, because typically most people wouldn't take $100, put it in the bank with the great upside potential of getting 98 back a year later, but that's what a negative interest rate is. But in case that wasn't enough, and I might add, without getting into the mechanics of it tonight, that anytime you lower interest rates, that synthetically translates into printing more money, because how do you get the cost of credit down? You make more credit available. What is more credit? Is more digital, or whether they're actually printing the dollars or euros in this case. Although, again, I still look back to the year and a half I spent in Europe where, now this was even before the negative interest rates came along, and every time I went to the ATM, the bills looked like they were still hot off the press that morning. And similarly, it's been interesting coming back here into the United States, this September of 2014. And while the Fed is saying that they're stopping their quantitative easing policy, certainly there's the currency looks new to me. I've been gone for a year and a half. So who knows what these guys are really printing? And basically, at this point, it's when you look at all the things they've been caught lying about, tapering, not tapering, going to do this, going to do that. Do we even know? And even if they were doing it, what did Bernanke always say, which certainly Yellen seems like she's following right in lockstep? Well, we're always going to be dependent on the conditions, so if the economy weakens, we remain ready to provide more support. Now, you see this happening in Europe, in Japan. China recently was pumping some new cash into the economy. And also, certainly we've seen this big plummet in oil, which some analysts have commented on new supply coming into the market, which I am not an oil market specialist, so I'm not claiming that there hasn't been new supply, but as a former trader, seeing the way it plummeted, it's not as if someone just overnight created a ton of new fracking or shale oil supplies. I don't know if you call it a well or not, so excuse me if that's not the proper terminology. This non-educated oil man here. But in either case, to me, it seems pretty hard to imagine that there's no connection between all this slowdown in demand and the Fed ending the QE3 and QE4 policies. So far, now, if we jump two headlines ahead, because stocks gained sharply. Actually, we'll stick right with this one. Right after the Fed announced more stimulus, the ECB announced more stimulus, or signaled that they might have more stimulus, which we can read into where that one's going to go. The following headline, also on December 17th, was about the Fed, which had been claiming that they were going to raise interest rates soon, but sure enough, stocks gained sharply as Fed signals patience on rate hikes. Well, maybe they're not going to raise rates after all, it turns out. Then December 18th, Swiss Central Bank to introduce negative interest rates. I mean, it's quite Orwellian when you think about it. It's really fascinating. And I wonder what it would have been like, especially I always think back to the guys who were seeing this back in the 80s and have been aware about the Illuminati and the dollar and all this nonsense. And I mean, imagine if you had written these headlines 10 years ago and said, in 2014, this is what's going to be happening. They would have committed you. But of course, not to be outdone, what was the Wall Street response to all this news? Well, December 18th, Dow Industrial surged 421 points, biggest gain since December of 2011. Of course, not to be outdone, December 22nd, 4 days later, I think that was actually a weekend in between there, if I remember correctly, Dow Industrials and S&P 500 close at new records. Aha! Now I've got it. Maybe it was me. Maybe I just didn't realize all we had to do was print cash and everything was going to be fine. Seems like it's working out great. The stock market's roaring. Nothing to see here. And especially when you combine all of these things, it's amazing to imagine what the break point will be. Now, just for the record, since we're closing in on the end of 2014, my best guess continues to be that whenever the gold and silver manipulation is overwhelmed, and again, if you're hearing about this for the first time, the short version is that in a rather short-sighted and misguided effort to stuff the price down and try and convince people that there's no inflation or that the dollar is strong. I mean, remember that the Fed actually hasn't drawn in any of the money it's printed. It's just stopped printing as much. And yet we see the dollar rallying and people claiming this is a sign of dollar strength. And at some point you wonder, where is the break point? And again, what I think is a likely candidate, certainly possibly the most likely candidate is going to be something that no one has ever thought of or could have imagined, but at some point in the way that this silver and gold manipulation has been run is that the banks have been selling a lot of paper gold and silver. And the problem with that strategy is that as Chinese and India and even Americans, maybe not on a broad national level, but certainly as people are waking up to what's going on, I would imagine, I haven't checked the actual percentage numbers recently, although I remember a couple of years ago hearing regularly that, you know, on average, less than 1% of a portfolio is invested in precious metals, which I think is increasing. And at some point, we're going to have someone show up for a piece of metal, find out it's not there. And perhaps that's the spark that finally stops this Wall Street behemoth from steamrolling logic and people who like to save money and do the right thing from being able to keep their money and enjoy it. Again, how it unfolds, we'll see. But it certainly seems, wow, how much longer can this go on? I mean, half the world's introducing negative interest rates. There's more money printing than ever. It's really complete insanity. But the good news is that since you're listening to Radio Arcadia, and I'm assuming you've already hit the subscribe button so you can actually get notified each time one of these new episodes is uploaded, or if you're already a regular reader on ArcadiaEconomics.com, where, again, if you go to our website, right in that upper right corner, you put your email address in there, and every Monday you'll get an update which will, in one way or another, hopefully make your life somewhat better or more enjoyable or put a smile on your face, because either we're talking about the latest Wall Street tricks or perhaps a way to leave the corporate workforce behind and find out how to transition your life into something you enjoy, or just how to find the positive elements out of all this and not let it get too overwhelming. Certainly that's something I've struggled with in the past, and it's a lot more fun, I can assure you, when we can take the step back, see what's going on, strip that emotion out of it as much as possible, because if you approach it as if we go back to when we were young and if you're playing baseball or soccer or football, as they call it in Europe, and just imagine the things that we're preparing for now is just, you know, going out to play that game. And it's just another set of algorithms and movements and words and questions that we ask that in the end gets us to a different outcome. And fortunately, it's possible to reach the outcome that I believe we're all going after, which I think for most people is just being able to enjoy the way they spend their time, create an income from doing something they enjoy, and being with their family and friends. And in either case, that's what we like to help you get closer to. So I hope you found tonight's podcast helpful in that sense. I'd love to have you listening to the show again and bring on a lot of guests. If you take a look back through some of the previous episodes, we've had quite an exciting year here. I'd like to thank you again for your involvement. I hope you're finding this helpful, and I hope you're enjoying it. I do my best to craft my comedy routine and work in some jokes from time to time. And again, really keep this as positive, and because I think it can, when we frame it that way, anything can be positive if we are finding the positive in it. Sometimes it's easier said than done, but that's why we're here to help. You don't have to do these things alone. And really, I don't claim to be inventing any new science here, but rather just as someone who felt lost for a long time and kept reading and studying and researching and learning and felt I had found enough that I had some information to share that could hopefully make the journey easier for you. That's really the only goal here. And I thank you for joining us and listening and giving me the opportunity to serve you and hopefully make things easier. So with that said, by all means, again, hit that subscribe button so we can continue doing this. Love to hear any questions you have, and you can go to arcadeeconomics.com/contact. Perhaps there's issues that we haven't discussed this year that you'd like to hear. And also, if you have an interesting story and would like to be a guest on the show, we'd always love to hear from you and just love hearing from our listeners and readers. And that's what makes it all worth it. And certainly the times where we're tired over here at Arcadia or up late getting something together and really get one of those emails of finding out that what we've done has made an impact in someone's life or helped them in some way. That's really what makes it all worth it in the end. So I want to thank you for your involvement, and I want to thank you for being here this entire year. I hope you've had a great 2014. Hope you're prepared for a great 2015. I have a feeling it's going to be an exciting one, and I'll look forward to sharing it with you. And with that said, God bless you all. Happy New Year, and we will see you again soon.